What's up, everybody? My name is Mike Lee, and I would like to welcome you to the Mind Shift Lab. Each episode will bring you a new guest to share exercises, strategies, and mindsets to help you create an internal shift that will drive external results in business, the arts, sports, and life. Today, we are diving in with Guillaume Vieta. Did I say that right?
Very well, Mike.
Close enough?
Yep. Close enough.
All right. Today we are diving in with Guillaume. Guillaume is a business strategy consultant, leadership coach, writer, and artist, teaching CEOs, founders, and business owners how to build a strategic narrative. He is a principal and founder of MetaHelm, a strategy consulting firm specializing in helping business leaders unlock profit and energize their team with a shared narrative grounded in their organization's purpose. He consults with senior executives at Alaska Airlines, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, AIG, L'Oreal, Spencer Stewart, Gap, Google, and the U.S. and French governments. Thanks so much for being here today.
Mike, this is such a pleasure to be here. I've been looking forward to this.
At least I didn't completely butcher your name.
It's okay.
We got it at least 80% right here.
Thank you.
I want to get right into your story here. Can you give everybody kind of a high-level overview of your journey, how you got into the work that you're doing today?
Well, I come from a family of entrepreneurs. Both on my mother's side and father's side in France, they're running small to medium businesses, and you know, for you know, per the dimension of 40, 50 years ago, and my dad is a doctor. I always know I wanted to work in some kind of consulting capacity, and very early on in college, I wanted to be a business consultant and an entrepreneur. In fact, if I look at my journey, I've been more of an entrepreneur than a business consultant, but I was able to achieve my dream, which is to mesh both. I'm a very curious person by nature. I'm so focused, I'm so dedicated to learning. I'm a lifelong learner. And so I thought this would be probably the best avenue for me. And then I've been doing consulting for over 20 years now. I immigrated to the United States. That took me on a very interesting path in my journey because I came here in the summer of 2008. For those who remember what happened that summer, that was the start of the great financial recession. And I came here to the United States. My English was really rudimentary. I knew no one. My wife is from here, so she brought me back with her. And I had to reinvent myself. And finally, after a little bit of time, I went back to consulting because that's the only thing I can seem to be able to do. And very early on in my career, I specialized in technical fields first. Very early on in my career, I was faced with situations where I was helping people run companies, and they were mostly, this pattern came, we were mostly stuck for communications reasons. And I remember there was one particular day, one particular meeting in 2001, when I was 28 at the time. I was brought into this very large organization called Total. It's an energy company. And the project was apparently stuck for process reasons and things like that. And I realized that wasn't the problem. I realized what was the problem was a complete misalignment. The team was not playing well together. The team was not, organized, was not shooting in the same direction. And it was the first day I was kicking off this project. The scope of my work was to help them with process things. And I told myself, look, if I don't do something very quickly here, this is not going to work. And they're going to end up firing me very quickly. So I managed to flip the situation here by having this project team in the first meeting draw the project. So I handed out sheets of paper to everyone. And I asked them to draw the project, literally draw it. And they looked at me with kind of a surprise for a moment. And when we posted all the drawings on the wall, drawings did all the work for me. You know, everybody could see that they are not speaking the same language. And that was a that's part of my in my origin, you know, in back in the day, you know, how I started doing this work and being so obsessed about this idea of strategic narrative. That was a foundational moment, you know, for me. It was being able to entangle something as complex as human relationship, you know, in a large company with a technical project, just with a simple exercise, was just kind of a revelation, you know, like. You're trying to mix things together, and all of a sudden it blows up, and you go like, "Whoa, what did just happen?" So then I went on, you know, to try to understand really what had happened and replicate this. And years later, now 20 years later, I run a company called MetaHelm, as you said in your intro. And what we do at MetaHelm is we do strategy consulting, and we work with CEOs, founders, business owners to help them build new kinds of companies, you know, more sustainable companies, more forward-thinking companies. And what we use is what I call a strategic narrative.
So you have a very specific focus, mm-hmm. and that's on this strategic narrative. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a strategic narrative and a story?
So it's a great question. Great spot to start, because most of us use the word story and the word narrative kind of in the same way. I mean, I used to do that, you know, all the time, until I realized, well, wait a minute. If there are two words, it's probably for a reason. Also, I am from France. I'm French. You know, English is not my native language, so I'm constantly looking up for words and for the definition of words. I try to be careful with I try to respect, honor the language I'm using. It turns out the word narrative does not exist in French as a noun. It only exists as an adjective. In English, it exists as a noun. And so I started like kind of wondering like, wait a minute. I've been using those two terms for so many years. I don't even know that. You know, at a professional level. And when you do this research, you know, simple research, you realize that in some dictionaries, they have the same definition. In others, they have slightly different meaning. And that's where it gets interesting. A story, to make it this, you know, not a university lecture, but just a very actionable kind of conversation here. A story is something that is typically past oriented. It's a recount of event, you know, of things that you've done. Like you say, let me tell you a story of something that happened in the past. Even if you think about sci-fi, you know, talking about the future, the story was written in the past already. And typically, you know, it's common to hear that a story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it's the definition that you will hear and see if you attend most business storytelling courses or workshops. You know, business storytelling has been a very hot topic. On the other hand, a narrative is an interpretation of the same facts. It's an opinion. It's a point of view. So you're taking a stand in a narrative, and a narrative is also a lot more future focused. It's forward thinking. It's about how we're going to do something. If you listen carefully to this word, you know, in the general vernacular, people will say, yeah, the narrative about this or about that, the narrative about technology, the narrative about society. And it turns out there are thousands of narratives about, you know, a million things. You've got narratives in your head that could be empowering or limiting as well. If you have a narrative in your mind that just limits you, you're not going to perform as well as you should. And that is that side of the narrative that I'm talking about to you guys today is really how we explore the side of the narrative that enables better performance, that enables better collaboration, that enables more alignment. So these are two different things. So then people ask me, well, what's the relationship then between story and narrative? And to me, a narrative is a system of stories. It's not completely disconnected. It has a very important relationship. But if you think about all the stories you're telling yourself that happened in the past about a certain topic, say you're an entrepreneur and you've been, you know, you've followed a certain path, like you bring those stories with you, kind of like a baggage. And your narrative is the center idea that makes sense of those stories together. So if that's a system, then the benefit that this gives us is that we can understand it, we can analyze it, we can make sense of it, we can map it out. I actually came up with a tool called the Strategic Narrative Canvas, where we can visualize those those systems, and you can also rewire it to make it better.
So would you say, from a very high level overview, a story is about something that happened in the past, maybe a founder story, and a narrative is about what you're trying to create for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. And Mike, the sound all of a sudden became really has a lot of statics here. I don't know if that it does the same for you or for other people here on the. But it's really hard to.
I can still hear you good. Can you hear? Is it better now or no?
Slightly better, but it's
no.
I think it's better.
Yeah. Now it's okay.
Yeah. Now it's better. Yes. Back to normal.
Okay. Okay. I don't know what that was. All
so
good.
I couldn't hear this question very well.
Yeah. So my question was around really clarifying kind of these two, and mm-hmm. and what I had said was that. And if you would agree that like the story is about something from the past and the narrative is about what you're trying to create for the future. And they both are in relation to each other. One, you know, you might have a founding story mm-hmm. about why a company created something, but the narrative is more so about what they are creating for the future. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's really spot on. I mean, you know, a story, you know, a company starts and there's a foundational moment. We call it the origin story. And the company is also constantly reinventing itself. And these days it's faster and faster with more uncertainty, more changes than ever. So you can't just be focused on the past. You have to be focused on the present and the future as well. And so if you're really in this mindset of, okay, what's, you know, how do we, you know, what is the belief systems? What are the system of stories that help that have us make this decision or that decision? It becomes an asset. It becomes really something that, you know, powers your business and accelerates it. So it's very forward.
I'm understanding a lot more about what you're talking about now, and it kind of seems like using a narrative as a way to like bring life into a vision.
Yes.
Right. To get more detail, to get more clarity about, you know, a lot of times we talk about this is our vision for our organization, but it's like, what does that really look like?
And
I don't know if.
Yeah, that resonates.
Yeah, go ahead.
That resonates with me, Mike. You know, what I like to also say is, look, a story creates an audience, right? People will gladly pay for a story. You're going to go to the movie, buy a book, you know, attend a talk, you know, maybe listen to a podcast like we're doing today. And so there is a little bit of a passive posture here. A narrative creates participants. A narrative invites people to, say, defend a cause, win a championship, win in the market, and really give their extra something that mobilizes them around what we're trying to build here. So it's, you know, story creates audiences, narrative creates participants. And so if you start looking at this and thinking about the narrative within your organization, you go, oh my God, yeah, we could think of our company as a movement almost. Like, why are people joining us? Why do people want to work with us or not? Why are they leaving? Right? It may be because the narrative is not functioning properly. It's not the right one. Or there are many conflicting narratives going on within the organization. And same thing on the market. Like, you know, it's really the role of the CEO to explain how people should think about their company. I mean, that's a 101 rule when you want to differentiate and innovate on a market.
So what are some things that people can do? You know, I think we all have our narrative. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, that narrative is unconscious. Mm-hmm. And it's the unconscious beliefs that we have that are running our lives, or even if our businesses, mm-hmm. right? I built a business. I've been in business for the last 20 years and I was just kind of running on autopilot. Like, you know, what is the unconscious narrative that you're telling yourself? What are some things that we can do to uncover our narrative, or maybe get more clarity on it from a maybe a personal level, but also from a business standpoint, an organizational level?
Well, I think there are more and more practices surfacing, and we are becoming more aware of them. And it was made more public when Simon Sinek, for instance, wrote his book, you know, Why, Start With Why. And so really mm-hmm. diving into the additional dimensions of the purpose of a business. And let's start there. There are many practices you can do to activate the unconscious layers of your narrative. So looking for the purpose in different dimensions of your companies is something helpful. And I work with this model that has four dimensions. So I'll try to give you some really concrete tips and tools and things you can do in those four dimensions. The first of this dimension is the starts with how the company started. You start with the founder and at an individual level. It's a framework. It's something that I run into pretty much all the time, and that is triggered by a question that we all ask each other. Hey, how did you start this company? Why did you start this company? And we typically will go towards very factual events. Yeah, you know, I was doing this, I was doing that, I was working with a business partner, and we're gonna stay factual. And so here, if you look at this question slightly differently, you have an opportunity to really dig into the things that seem so obvious to you, but that are going to start creating interest, generating interest, and that are going to inspire people to pay attention to the company you're building. So origin stories are just everywhere. I just told you part of my origin story a few minutes ago. Mike, you have an origin story, why you started the company you run today. And if you look around, you know, all the best, biggest, greatest leaders and brands have focused on why they exist from that standpoint. So there was, if you look at the traditional way you can decode an origin story, you'll look at, okay, what's the event? You know, what happened when we started? What's the triggering event that got us doing what we're doing today? I was listening to the origin story of Warby Parker the other day. And the founder of Warby Parker was just in an airplane and lost a pair of glasses that he had just paid $700 for. He was a college student. It was a lot of money for him. And, you know, as soon as he gets realizes he lost his glasses, tried to find a replacement, can't afford another $700 pair, and goes, well, that's nuts. Like, glasses shouldn't be that pricey. So start, you know, doing the research and why are glasses, you know, so expensive, and realizes that basically there is one major company that runs all of the, you know, glasses brands on the world, and also owns the insurance company that reimburses for your, you know, glasses, that pays for the bills, and goes, that's not okay. He's probably not the first one who ran into that situation, but he's one of the people who say, well, that's not okay. I want to do something about it. I'm going to change that. This is going to be a big, ambitious thing, and starts on a journey, starts following his emotion to try to entangle and fix that problem with his co-founders. And what's interesting there is that's the change in the narrative that happens in his mind, in his life at that moment. And so he's starting to grow a small narrative that goes against a giant, massive narrative that is powered by a whole entire industry. And so what you can do is think about why you started this company, what really made that event so meaningful to you? What were you up against? What is the core emotion? What is the frustration that you were trying to make sense of, you know, in that very moment, and write down your origin story? This is an exercise that I have all my clients do, and every time, guaranteed, they go, oh my gosh, there are things in there that I never told anyone, that I didn't know I could say, that I didn't know I should say. Sometimes people tell me, well, I was afraid, I thought I couldn't say that. But actually, you help me reframe it in a way that is super powerful. Because if I'm able to say why I started this company, then I create a potential connection for other people maybe who felt the same about an industry problem, such as, you know, glasses, or, but I mean, I've got tons of examples like that. So the number one step here in this very personal internal dimension is to put down on paper and research deep the very reason why you wanted to do this business. If you didn't start the business, I get that question all the time. Well, I was not the founder, but I'm now taking over a company. I'm the CEO. Well, sure enough, you know, you are not historically part of the company, but there is motive. There are reasons why you wanted to join this company. You know, some specific things maybe resonated with you, and that's what you need to capitalize on.
What are some prompts or questions that you use when having people write this narrative? Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you have, like, I know we're going to get into some more of this four-story framework, but mm-hmm. what are some questions that you ask people to maybe get them to think a little bit differently about their stories?
It's very simple questions that I customize based on the situation. But I always, you know, the question I mentioned, you know, earlier was like, okay, well, how did that start? Tell me about when this started. And then the way I facilitate this conversation is using, you know, questions such as, well, give me some examples, like who was there that day, who was in the room, what were you trying to achieve then? So I keep my questions very open, very factual. I'm really interested in the factual elements of, you know, who, why, where, what was going on, you know, in that moment. Or sometimes we have several moments too, and I'm trying to look at the patterns here. But I'll start with the basic one, that, you know, why did you start this company? What was happening that day? I think it's a great thing to start with. Then I look for the elements. There's always a situation. There's always a triggering event or a set of triggering events. There is a core emotion, something you felt very deep, and then something you started doing. And that's, you know, the response you had toward that emotional reaction is really, really important. So I stay focused on this, like what were the things you're trying to do? And another thing I look in this conversation is also what is the opportunity that you were seeing at that moment. So it's a little bit of the work of a detective, and you can apply, I mean, I'm giving you all my secrets and my recipe here. You can apply that recipe very easily to yourself. You just have to be committed to it and writing it down. So it's a little bit of there's a science there. You know, I'm putting a framework, I'm using the word framework behind this, but it's also very much an art. I mean, we're really in the art of decoding this.
Yeah. I mean, I know purpose was something that is an element of this, the why, the purpose, right? And, you know, people are craving meaningful work and purpose now more than ever. And, you know, how do you infuse this into the narrative from the standpoint of people's, do you get into connecting personal purpose with organizational purpose and infusing that into the narrative, or is that not something that you focus on?
No, it's everywhere. I do that all the time. I focus on I focus on the founder, the CEO, basically the leadership team at first. Mostly because it's an entry point, it's a starting point, and also I consider that it is their responsibility to create the environment that fosters a sense of purpose. Now, I will say that I used to believe that a whole organization could really focus on the same purpose, and realized over the years that you can have, you know, a great purpose statement, but it's very limiting. It's too narrow most of the time. You have to understand that everybody interprets the purpose of an organization per their own framework. It's got to make sense for every single person at an individual level, you know, as well. And so you have to have those conversations to create those connections between where the organization is headed as a group. Think about a flow of a group of birds flying, you know, a flock of birds flying. You know, they stay together, but sometimes some birds, you know, may diverge a little bit and come back to the group, and that's okay. They still belong to the same system, and sometimes, you know, some people may feel like they're a little bit off the overall company purpose and may come back or may decide to go work with other people, and that's okay. But it's a very organic thing. It should not be it's something evolutionary as well. It's something that evolves around the time, but the entry point is working with the people who are in charge of creating that space to make sense of the company. And I love what you just said, Mike, when you said, you know, so many people are craving meaning. My theory is that we're coming out of an age where we see organization mostly as machines, you know, as, you know, very with a very prescriptive way of running and functioning, and going into an age where we see that organizations are not as black and white as we think they are. It, you know, they're subject to so many interpretations. So in the narrative, the purpose is literally everywhere. It's at the individual level, it's at the collective level. A purpose is very much an internal thing, but also, you know, external thing. So if you start looking at this from those two axes, you know, external, internal, and individual, collective, this forms the four dimensions that I was talking about earlier. And this gives you an opportunity to look at your company not just as a sales machine or not just as an HR thing, but really as a more holistic entity and very much of as a human entity.
Yeah, for sure. It's like some of these organizations get so big and you get stuck in this silo and you lose sight of how everything that you're doing is actually contributing to the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. To me, it's like it's the central element that just brings people, you know, together.
Yeah. So what if somebody's an individual contributor within their organization? How can they use this framework in order to try to create impact within the organization? Maybe they're just leading a sales organization, leading a sales team or whatever it is. How can they use this approach?
So anyone can grab this canvas I created. Anyone can think of those two axes and map it out for themselves and for their own group. It will work at those two levels. And I get the questions all the time. Hey, you know, Guillaume, you talk about those big corporations sometimes, and sometimes I use the example of smaller entities and also independent consultants. And I get the question, does this apply also to independent solo consultants? I say, yeah, absolutely. This is a practice you can do at your level. But at some point, if you feel like this is valuable to you, I mean, this is not a magic bullet. I know that this is not for everyone, or it requires a certain mindset. You requires to be interested in thinking about this idea of a narrative. But then if you start seeing that it works for you, it's an approach you could recommend at the organization level. You know, so many CEOs now these days are, they're not equipped to think at the narrative level. They're very much on the ground, doing their job as best as they can and operating the company. But at the same time, markets, investors, employees, society is demanding that companies show up with a narrative for what is the impact that they want to have, you know, outside. So if you feel like this is a technique that can help your organizations do that, by all means, you know, get it, steal it from me, you know, use it to your advantage, and maybe recommend it, you know, to your organization. So that's something that can apply, you know, at all level of the organizations, because the dimensions that I'm talking about are universal. You know, everything, everyone has a inside, outside, and an individual and a collective. So
I don't know. Yeah, for sure.
You are an independent a professional and expert, Mike. So how does this resonate with you for your entity?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's super important. And I think, you know, I think both of them, right? The story and the founding story and the narrative, but I think also using the narrative is more so like a strategic story, mm-hmm. as to where what I'm trying to create, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, especially as a small business owner, lots of times, especially when you're the face of the organization, people are buying you first before they're even buying what the company does, right? Mm-hmm. They buy your background, they mm-hmm. buy your expertise, they buy your credibility, they buy your accolades, mm-hmm. right? Before they buy in your story, is, you know what I'm saying, right? And what you've been through, before they're buying the result that they want from their organization. So I think it's a super, obviously there's a balance between those two, but I think it's definitely something that is crucial for small businesses to have.
Yeah, I love what you just say, Mike. It's like they buy your story, they buy where you've been through. So just right there, yeah. You're referring to something that happened in the past.
Yeah.
They also buy how you look at the future. They also buy your yeah. point of view. They buy maybe a reframing of how they feel or what their problem might be. That's the future. Mm-hmm. That's the future focused of what a narrative is. Like, you know, help me understand how my problem fits, you know, in today's context. And they will choose you for that. And if you don't have a point of view, if you don't have anything to say, oh yeah, I'll just do whatever everybody else is doing, you know, maybe you're reducing your chances of bringing extra value to your clients.
Yeah, and I think those play off each other, right?
Exactly.
They're buying your point of view. Mm-hmm. Because of what you have been through.
Perfectly said.
And so being able to connect, being able to connect those two, yes. is super important.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So you brought up earlier something about a canvas. Mm-hmm. You have a movement creator canvas. Can you explain what that is and how we can apply it with our organization?
Yes, absolutely. And that's something I'd be happy to share in the show notes and give you the templates for it. So the canvas is divided into those four areas that I described earlier. The first one is where the origin story, is located. It's the individual and internal part of that canvas. And the next one I like to always orient my clients towards is what I call the opportunity story. So now we're going external facing and collective and thinking about, okay, if I want to have an impact similar to what a movement could have to change something, what does it look like? And when I use the word opportunity, I use it in terms of what is the opportunity for us? So you've got another area in that canvas that is dedicated to this. The next area is your perspective. How do you apply your promise? You know, you say you want to build a company, a technology company, say, let's take that as an example. That is going to work, you know, around a specific type of software or with a specific method for development. That's your perspective. So you're saying here, you're mapping out what are the elements of how you're going to run this company that really matter to you. And finally, we're going to talk, of course, about the offer and the product. And that part of the canvas, I always recommend that we approach it last, because something I see all the time is we are all very good at talking about what our product is, our offer, right? We could talk about it all day long, but for people to understand why this offer is going to matter to them, they're going to have to understand the context around it. And that canvas forces you to map out the elements of the context that makes your offer important. So it's literally a one page divided into four areas in which I give instruction and I indicate what are the elements that you need to think through. What are the things you need to do entangle? What are the things you need to write down so that when you operate on a daily basis, when you speak, when you talk to your clients, when you hire people, when you make decisions about how you're going to change your companies, these very specific words are going to show up, and this is going to shape the way your organization runs and evolves. A canvas is something that you can use multiple times because a narrative evolves. It's never done, but it's always due. So there are, some of my clients will use it just as a checklist. Say they're putting a new website together. They refer to their canvas to go, did we talk about those messages? Did we talk about that idea? How we talk about the benefits that we bring to a market? So it's more like a checklist. Mm-hmm. And then you can also use it is a brainstorming tool. Say something new happened in your market, or you're thinking about changing business model, say, or becoming a platform. If you just look at the technical aspect, you might miss something big. You might misalign your decisions with who you are and what's the purpose of your company. And those decisions could be very costly. So say you've already done one iteration of your canvas, you got some big, some ideas, and a few months later you review this in the eye of those decisions. Now you create a new version of your strategic narrative. So it just evolves over time, and you just iterate on it, constantly iterating on it. So it becomes like and what's cool to see is the historical. I've got clients I've been working with on these concept for years now, and I could probably map it out historically and show them the historical choices they made as far as their company is concerned. That's what the canvas is about.
Yeah, I think you brought up an important point around this being an iterative process, right? We're, as we alluded to in the beginning, we're dealing with more change, disruption, mm-hmm. at a velocity that we've never experienced before. Mm-hmm. And being, not approaching this as in this is a one-time thing. It's an evolving process that is going to serve as our North Star, mm-hmm. for our strategy internally, externally, whatever it is super important to approach this with, that it's not a one-time thing and you're done with it. How do you advise people to balance the ability to be adaptable, mm-hmm. but also use the strategy as a North Star?
So the
how do you balance these two? Mm-hmm. Do you understand the question?
Yeah. I think I can speak to that because especially with what happened in 2020, just like everyone, we all thought it was going to be okay. We all got caught off guard. And I remember working with clients who were very, very, panicked. It was very chaotic. They were glad we had this tool because they were forced to adapt, right? They were forced into completely changing the way they work. All of a sudden, there is no one in the office. So they are glad that we had that tool. The visual that I create, first of all, it's a one-page visual, so you can show it anytime. People know how to refer to it, and it goes beyond just the words that are on it because we can sketch on it. We can add icons, we can add visuals. So that's a tool right there made for adaptation because we know that adaptation is a constant. And adaptation doesn't mean that you transform necessarily who you are, what your purpose is, but that you reinterpret it, that you change the way you make sense of it, right? It's like when we say we adapt as a human being, we may flex, we may wear different clothes, we have different behaviors, but inside it's the same skeleton, it's the same DNA, right? And so the strategic narrative canvas I built is built with that same idea in mind. It's like this documents the DNA and the skeleton for who we are as a company. And now when we go work, we don't have this tool in mind. We don't think about it. But if we need to, we know how to refer to it. So it helps us make, you know, those better decisions. It literally helps us adapt in real time.
Awesome. I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah.
As we're, you know, kind of connects it to what everything, mm-hmm. What everybody is going through today and how they can use this as a reference point as their North Star, which I think is super important.
Yeah.
You have a workshop that starts January 25th that goes for, I believe, 8 weeks?
Yeah, 7 weeks.
The people can sign up for if they want to dive into this.
Right, 7 weeks.
Where's the best place to register?
MetaHelm.com, and I actually created a link for this show, MetaHelm.com/TheMindShiftLab, and you will be directed to it. The first thing would probably to sign up to my email list and download the canvas so that you have it and start being familiar with it. And then join the workshop. We start January 25th. It's a small group of entrepreneurs and forward-thinking people. I limit it to 12 people to work with me for 7 weeks. And at the end of this workshop, you have a full understanding of this model that I put together. So you can reuse it forever. And you have it completed. And you have it completed and tested too. So you got several weeks to get this done and just move forward. And the feedback that I always get is like, yeah, there are things that I was able to uncover. You know, I was able to bounce new ideas with my team. And people typically just love the small group settings that we are in to get, different perspective on their business. You know, it's a safe zone that where people really can bounce off ideas of each other. So that's the strategic narrative workshop right there.
Awesome. If you guys want to connect with him, hit him up at MetaHelm.com. It's MetaHelm.com. You can connect with Guillaume. Thanks so much for being on today. It's good to have you on the show and to connect with you. We will see everybody next week.
Mike, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me this Friday.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the time to listen to the show today. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd greatly appreciate a 5-star rating on iTunes because it's how we spread the word about the show. Also, remember to grab your copy of Locked In, a digital guide on how to unlock world-class resilient performance by heading over to mindshiftlabs.com/performance. That's mindshiftlabs.com/performance. We'll see you next week. Definition of a champion, definition of a champion, Lord. Never for titles before survival, the champion. A team role players even